This week, or we are in this, I'm going to stand up here just in case you can't see me, helping without hurting. We're rethinking mission. What does mission look like? Jesus said, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all my ways, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Well, what does the go mean? What does mission mean? And so we know that when you read scripture, Jesus, God, is passionate about the poor. In fact, he says, feed them, clothe them, give them a place of belonging, welcome them, go out, be with them, stand up for them. Where there's injustice, speak into that. But the question we have been asking is, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? And Kevin Mast, who is not a part of our church, he's part of Hope City Church downtown, when he was here last week, he said it very clearly. Mission is wherever you find yourself. That's what mission is. Mission is where you find yourself. So you don't really need to be saying, I wonder who I should be sharing the gospel with, or I wonder who I should be helping, or I wonder if I need to talk to the person who's standing beside me. It's an attitude of the heart is really what it comes down to. So I find myself all the time now standing in Zares or standing in Walmart or just getting gas and wondering, Lord, are you going to open up an opportunity here? Would you just help me step into it? I'm finding more and more that that's going to be the attitude of my heart rather than going, does God want me to tell them about you? Tell them about Jesus. Now it's like, okay, is he going to open up an opportunity so we can just walk into it? It's always this state of being prepared because mission is wherever you find yourself. We don't need to be asking, does God want me to tell people about him? It's where, when, how am I ready? And the Bible is very clear that we are to have a word of our testimony at any point in time so that we can share that with others. And so today, we're talking about fostering change because it's a changing the way that we think to realize that mission isn't something that just the church does. It's what we are. So often it's like, well, what is the church doing for this? And what is the church doing for this? When really it's something about who we are as individuals actually reaching out to the people God causes us to interact with. And so you might be asking yourself, how or why? Why are we needing to change? So Velma, if you want to skip down to the slide that says broken on it. Because we're broken. Our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with ourselves are broken. We are insecure. We have this fear of rejection, so we go into people-pleasing. We are at odds with people beside us. And our relationship with the rest of creation, it's all broken. And so there needs to be some kind of change that happens. Because I don't know if you figured this out, but God doesn't want it this way. He actually wants it to look like this. He wants there to be peace, because that's how he created us. He actually created you to be at peace with yourself. He created you to be at peace with him. He created you to be at peace with other people around you. And he created you to be at peace with all of creation. And so if you're not feeling at peace in any one of those situations, then something is broken. And he wants to fix it. He came to fix it. That's the best part. He came to fix it. Because he knows it's broken. And he does that with Jesus. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins that we could be set free from the brokenness of our life. And when we come into alignment with the cross, then he sets us free from the brokenness of our life. That's what he does. Because he came to bring us peace, and this is the mission that we find ourselves on. So the question is, well then, how do we do that? Because so often when we see a problem, when we see brokenness, we just want to jump in and fix it. Well, that doesn't always bring lasting results. If we look at this next picture, there's three types of, I want to say, fixing. And some are effective in the moment, but long term, they don't really work. So you have this relief. So there's a tornado or a flood, and you just need to get in there and get people out. They need meals. That's immediate relief. Or then there's rehabilitation. So it's like, okay, getting people back on their feet, getting them back in their homes, helping them get refocused and you know, back to the way things used to be. But then there's this thing called development. The problem is, relief is easy. You commit for a day, you commit for a week, and in you go, you fix the problem, and out you come. Or rehabilitation, there's an end in sight, right? Like, when I busted my knee a few years ago, it was like 6 weeks of rehab. No problem. I can commit to 6 weeks of rehab. Development is the hard part, because that's actually where change happens, and that's what we're actually called to do. And it says that development is a process of ongoing change, walking with people in ways that move everyone involved, both the helpers and the helped, closer to being in right relationship with God, self, others, and all of creation than they were before. It can only occur when people who are willing to, with people who are willing to change. If a person is not interested in change, you can't make them change. Doesn't matter how well-meaning you are. If the person doesn't want to change, they're not going to change. And you might look at their life and you might say, yeah, but they really need this. Or if they would just eat this. Or if they would just walk. Or if they would just do this. Or if they would just get their finances in order, everything would be better. And you very well could be right. But you telling them, you fixing things, isn't actually going to change anything, because they haven't decided in their heart that they actually need a change. A friend of mine had a daughter who she just wanted to help. And so she kept, you know, buying her things. And it was like the daughter actually didn't want what her mother was buying her. But the mother felt like she needed them, but the daughter didn't want them. And the mother would get really, really upset because the daughter wasn't changing. And I finally said, she doesn't want to change. It doesn't matter how much you buy for her. It doesn't matter how much you provide for her. It doesn't matter anything. Until your daughter is actually ready to change, she is not going to change. So quit wasting your money. Quit breaking your heart because she's not changing. Obviously, something needs to change, because you just trying to fix it isn't going to make the change that is necessary. Did the daughter need the help? The answer is yes. But it wasn't until the daughter actually agreed that she needed help and she was willing to seek out help and receive it that the change would actually happen. That's part of the problem, is people don't always realize they need change. They're not willing to change. Or they might even realize that they need to change, but they don't want to change. They don't want to do what it takes to change. I like chocolate way too much. And until the Lord takes away that desire for chocolate, Hello Dollies, ice cream, cake with icing, cake without icing, brownies. Right? Like, I really love my dessert. I'm really thankful for those people who don't love dessert. I wish I could be like you. But my heart isn't there yet, and so I'm still going to eat all that stuff, and at some point, hopefully, I'll change. But until I decide in my heart to change, it doesn't matter how many people say or I think, oh, I really shouldn't be eating this. I'm still going to eat it because I don't really want to change. That's a very simple example, which a lot of us can relate to. But we see the needs, right? We see people who are financially in struggles, and we're like, but if they would just make these choices, then this and this and this could change. But they haven't decided in their heart that they actually want to change. And so the question is, how does someone change? So let's see what the writers of When Helping Hurt says. All right. I wanted to just end it so abruptly because I wanted you to hear that. I have to want to change. That's usually the first step, is the person has to want to change. And so I want you to think for yourself. I'm going to put a question up on the screen, and it goes like this. Think of a time when you took action to affect positive change in your life. What caused you to take those actions? So I just want you to think quietly. Think in your head. And as I thought about it myself, and I thought about the lasting changes, this was what I said. This is my answer to the question. I said this. I actually saw people modeling Jesus. Real. And I wanted it. And that's what caused me to want to change. Because I realized the God that I read about in the Bible is actually real. And I wanted it. And it could be had for anyone. So that caused the change in my life. The second question is, think of a time... There we are. Next. Think of an individual who has had a significant positive impact on your life. And how did they do this? And what did you appreciate about their approach? So think about that. So when I thought about those individuals that I saw modeling Jesus to me, and I know, like, that's the immediate change that I went to. They were living in a way that was appealing. They were real, they were consistent, and they were encouraging. They didn't yell, they didn't point fingers, they just came alongside, they were encouraging, their words were encouraging, and they just kept modeling it like it was real every single day. And that's how I made the change in my life. I saw people modeling Jesus in a real consistent way, and that's what I wanted. And so I decided in my heart, I need to make that change. And then they were just continually encouraging and supportive and consistent. And never once when I slipped up or made a mistake did they, like, you're such a stupid idiot. Like, there was no putting down. There was no pushing away. It was an embracing and a let's move forward. Because it's a lot easier to try to make the change when there's people around you that are supportive as opposed to people who are going to, like, cut you down for slipping up. And that's why having a supportive community, and that's what Freddie Weaver said, having that supportive community was so important to him. Because even though he had decided in his heart, he needed people around him to continue to support him, to encourage him. So how do we facilitate change? There's two aspects. So on one side, we have this one. So this is the person who needs to have change happen. So a trigger happens. There's one of three triggers: the crisis, or the burden just gets so overwhelming that they're tired of it. Or third, that they actually see that there could potentially be a different way. So that's the trigger. And then they're self-motivated to change. And to be honest, to make the change really stick and last, God needs to be a part of it. He is actually the instigator of all change. And so this prayer is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For change to stick, we need to be inviting God into the situation, saying, God, would you create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, a right heart with you? Would you help me? Inviting God to the things that we are doing is so, so important. We talked to the VBS kids this past week about that whole idea that God wants us to invite him in. He invites us to invite him. And so we need to ask him. So this is the side that needs help. And then the other side is the person who's willing to help. And the key thing is, and Freddie Weaver said this, he said they were willing to listen. And not listen for what they wanted to hear. They were just willing to listen to what the person's need was. And then they were willing to support and walk alongside. And they, too, need to be asking for help. I love this verse from Romans. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, and never be wise in your own sight. That means continually asking God, how do I help this person? How do I love this person? How do I love this person? Is a great prayer. I pray it all the time. How do I love this person well? What do you want me to say to this person? How do I interact with this person? Could you show me my own issues so I'm not speaking out of my own issues? But God, would you just like be in between us so that my words sort of go through the God filter into their heart? Because he's willing to do that. We just need to invite him in. So there's two sides to change, and God is on both sides. And we need to invite him in. If we're needing the change, then God, would you help me change? And if we're called to help develop, to walk with someone through that, then we need to be close with God too, saying, God, would you help me to speak love and truth into this person's heart? When I'm supposed to be doing that, would you help me to model your love and your grace and your mercy? Would you give me the strength that I need to walk alongside to commit? Because that's where lasting change comes. Jesus came that we would have life and life to the full, and often we don't experience the fullness because we aren't willing to change the things that we need to change. But it's there. Like this idea of being at peace with people, being at peace with ourselves, being at peace with God is available, but we often will have to change things in our own lives in order to experience the fullness of that. Because true change is facilitated by God. And Isaiah says this. Next. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So a new heart comes from God. So you might think you're doing it on your own, but a new heart actually comes from God, that no one should boast. So if you want true and lasting change, it comes from God. This next one from John says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, that means if you hang out with me, if you stay with me, I'll be with you. And you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to stick with Jesus, asking him to come and be a part of every aspect of our life, surrendering to him. It's a daily thing. If we want to see lasting change in our lives and the lives of people around us, because so often we pray, Lord, would you just change Henry? Just change him. Right? I'm picking on Henry. I picked on Mike before. Change Henry. Rather than saying, Lord, how do I love Henry well? How do I love Henry well? How do I interact with Henry? How do I show him your love and your grace and your mercy? How do I love him well? Rather than just, Lord, zap him. I really wish the zapping worked, the zapping prayer worked. Usually I'm the one that gets zapped. Because I have learned that if I'm willing to change, God uses me in amazing ways. He positions me in places that I've never been to facilitate change. So we need to actually stop praying the prayer, Lord, change them, to, Lord, would you change me? Change my heart. Change my attitude. Help me to love them well. Help me to see what they're seeing. Help me to see what you're seeing in them. But we need to invite God into those situations rather than just saying, Lord, you zap them. Lord, zap me so I can love. I can love well. And so these mindsets need to be changed if we really want to see lasting change and people experience the fullness of God in their life. It starts with us. It starts with us realizing that we need to be changed and not always saying, well, it's the other person. It is so easy to say it's the other person that needs to be changed. That's pride. That's pride. And so as we reflect, how do we act on this? So it says on the screen under reflection and action, it says, given that the Holy Spirit is the one with the power to soften all of our hearts, in what specific ways can you pray for the people in your life who are currently unreceptive to change? And in what areas of your own heart are you hardened to change? So it's both and. It's both and. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as we sing this song, it's called From the Inside Out. Lord, would you change me from the inside out? And it's okay to pray for people around you that need change in their life. Because sometimes we see it, but they don't. So maybe you need to be praying, Lord, would you open the eyes of their heart that they could see their need? And in the process, could you help me love them well? This kind of prayer is reflective, right? It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Because maybe your attitude towards people who are marginally poor or people in your home is actually quite sucky. And you've been blaming them, or you blame people for their circumstances rather than just stepping back and saying, okay, God, how do I love them well? Like, maybe you need a heart change. Or maybe you've said, I don't need to change. I encourage you this morning, if you said that, if you said, I don't need to change, could you just give those words to Jesus and ask him? You can say something like this. God, I don't think I need to change. Am I right? And if there's a long pause, then maybe you should say something like, okay, could you show me where I might need to be changed? Would you open my heart to you? Would you take away the pride that's there? Because only when we change do we experience the fullness of God. And so the prayer rails are available. That's just a place where we get real with God in a public way. And if you want to come forward and pray, we invite you to come forward. If it's about the sermon, great. If God is touching your heart and you just want to come forward, your church family will pray for you. If you want to come forward and pray for someone else, maybe it's a marriage or a family issue, then you come forward and we'll pray for you. Maybe you just need to get things right with Jesus. Then I invite you to come forward. And so as we sing this song from the inside out, just be praying. Pray it. Sing it as a prayer. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask that you would create in us a clean heart. Would you change us so that we can experience your fullness and then share that with others? And then, Lord, would you, where we have pointed fingers, where we have judged, would you forgive us? And would you give us eyes to see what you see? And would you give us a heart to respond the way you would have us to respond? And we ask this in your name. Amen.